We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. I have to say, go eat popcorn, or Gentiles eat pork chops, because G is Galatians and E is Ephesians and P is Philippians and C is Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Go eat. Gentiles eat pork chops. The things we learn. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read 1 through 8. I'm going to try anyway. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he who ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Actually, I didn't know what the Sunday school lesson was, and this is going to build on what the Sunday school lesson was. If you didn't make it, shame on you. But that's okay, because we're going to pick up and it'll make sense anyway. The emphasis of Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 is the unity of the body of Christ. And then he goes on to point out how to accomplish this. And the things he mentions, lowliness. And we all know what that is, I hope. It just means don't be haughty. Don't be stuck up. Don't think you're better than other people. You're not that hot. And every person is replaceable. Every person is replaceable. If, God forbid, the President of the United States falls over right now, there is a man who will replace him. And if that man falls over 20 minutes later, there's a man there to replace him. And there is somebody always ready to replace. I've had people that have told me, because, you know, running a business and you're over there, and they said, well, you couldn't do this without me. You're fired. And watch. And the business goes right on, because nobody is irreplaceable except Jesus Christ. He's the only human we could not replace. God can always raise up somebody to take our place. So let's not get, hey, you can't do it without me. I was humiliated one time. No, actually I wasn't. I was told that if I didn't take over this particular church, that they was going to close their doors. They only had 12 people. So I said, listen, I'm going to Bible college, but until I leave, I will preach there at your church every Sunday morning. So I did. And it was starting like March, April, somewhere in there. And I preached all the way up until the Sunday I had to go to Chicago. Went all the way through it, and we grew by 2 people. Started off with 12, hit 14, and the only reason they did that is because I was bringing somebody else with me. And I think I probably had to promise them free lunches for the whole duration. But we grew 2 people. And they kept saying, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You're going to be gone. And I said, God can replace me and it will be done easy. Be praying about this. I'm not irreplaceable. And I left, and they found the man within a few weeks. And the church hit 87 before I got back to say, hey, how's it going? They said, we're doing better without you. Nobody is irreplaceable. If I go away, you guys, if you are praying and trusting the Lord, He will raise up somebody who will be better. That doesn't mean you should shove me out the door, but if you want to, that's okay. So the lowliness is, nobody here is irreplaceable. We all like to think we're that really pretty important, and we are to God in that sense that He loves us, He cares for us, and He favors us. But when it comes to the unity of the church, don't get cocky. The other part's the word meekness. Meek means to have power, but to keep it under control. So if you're meek, if you have meekness, it means just because you're in a position in the church, keep it under control. Don't go throwing your weight around, I'm the bishop, I'm the archbishop, I'm the pastor. You know, and I have known pastors that actually have walked through into their churches during their interview and said, okay, if you elect me pastor, I expect absolutely everybody's resignation the first Sunday I take over. And then I will pick out the people that I want to run this church. You know, and I'm going, no. God picks out the people who are to be in that church, and He should be trusting them. Keep it under control, but they want absolute authority so that they can run things their way. The beauty of it is if the church fails, it's all their fault, you know. But that's not the way God works things. If you have a position or a strong influence, don't use it for your own benefit. Use it to keep the unity of the church going. The other word is diligence, which just means make a continuous effort to make sure the church is united. One of the great things about Glenwood that's been happening is the friendliness factor of this church is going up and up, and people are talking to me about how friendly this church is. This is a friendly church. I love going to the church. It's so friendly. But part of that is be diligent to continue to choose to be friendly and make sure you greet everybody, the people who've been here forever, the people who haven't been here forever, but keep that going because we want to keep the unity of the church going. And all this is not new, but then in verse 4 it says, there is one body and one spirit, just so as we are all called in one hope of your calling. The point is, there is one body and one spirit, and that Holy Spirit indwells the church. When the assembly is together, the church of Glenwood is not this building, though people say, oh, I went by your church. Well, if they went by the church, that means they had to do it while we were having church services, and they should have stopped and came in and joined with the church. The church, the actual word church is ecclesia, ecclesiastes, which just means the assembly. We are the assembly of church people who meet here. We are the church, not the building. So, he's saying the Holy Spirit indwells the church. There is one body, and the church is that body, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. Now, here's what the important thing is. This is a statement that I've heard for years. The sum is greater than its parts. The sum is greater than its parts. I'll read it. The total effectiveness of a group is greater than that of the individuals acting alone. It's like you can go out to the junkyard, you can buy pieces of a car. They're still pieces of a car, but if you can assemble a car together, then that car is greater than the sum total because it actually runs and it does stuff, but a door by itself does nothing. We are the assembly of Glenwood Church. We are greater than the sum of all of us individually. When we get together, there is something special that goes on. Yes, the Holy Spirit does indwell each and every one of us. When we came to the place and we said, I'm in complete agreement with you, Father, God, Jesus, I'm not perfect, never have been, never will be. I have failed in my life. That's sin. I have done things that are not perfect, and I can't get rid of them. But I know that your blood can. The sacrifice that you made can cause me to have forgiveness. I am trusting in your sacrifice. When you trust in the sacrifice of Christ, then the Holy Spirit indwells you. Moves right in at that point. You have now been made holy enough, pure enough, that the Holy Spirit Himself can move in and dwell within you. So every Christian has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But when a church assembles together, you have the Spirit-filled Christians. You have then the Holy Spirit, the one body, and you have Jesus Christ, because He says, where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So when we get together, we're not just individuals. We are greater than what we were because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Holy Spirit coming here to this church because we are a body at this time, a body of believers. And so this body of believers is then having a special presence of the Holy Spirit because we're together. And Jesus Christ is with us because He says where two or more are gathered. So we have this multiplication of the presence of God in our lives. As we stand individual, yes, we have the Spirit. But as we stand as a group, we have what can become an eternal wow factor. You know, wow, the Church of Jesus Christ has assembled. And when we get together, there is a special anointing, a special presence of God in this group. That's why it's important that we assemble together. Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are, and more so as that day, the second coming, approaches. He's telling us, don't quit getting together just because you think the second coming is getting there. It's important that we get together. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here among us in a special way. You want a special blessing? You come to a church where we are assembled and the Holy Spirit is there in a special way. We are more powerful when we get together and we... Today. Chuck brought up the idea. Oh, by the way, Chuck, you made me feel bad. This is Sunday school class, and I just want to deal. You made me feel bad. He brought up rhythm band. I don't know if you guys played in the rhythm band at Noble. He got to play the triangle. I always got sticks. Who wants sticks? I have sticks at home. I played the triangle. I never got to play the triangle. And that hurt me. I forgive you, Chuck. How many were stick players here? Oh yeah, we see the hands. And we don't like you triangle players. Anyway, when we get together, the presence of God is here in a special way, more manifested, more powerful. And the reason I was brought up, Chuck, is it said, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we will get to that part too. But the gift of languages or tongues was spoken about this morning. And one of the things that it says in reference to that, if a person is speaking in a foreign language and you don't understand it, then how are you going to know when to say amen? If I'm standing up here speaking Bangladeshi or whatever they speak over there, or Filipino something or other, how are you going to know when to say amen? There's two things here that need to be pointed out. One is you will not know when to say amen, so I need to speak English to you. And two, Paul actually expected people to be saying amen during church services. The whole point of the saying amen is not just to say amen. The point of saying amen is more than... I went to churches where people start to sing and playing along and the singer goes, oh, and somebody goes, amen. What's the point? Oh. The word amen is, that is truth and let it happen. Let it happen. What is spoken, let it happen in this congregation. What is spoken as truth. When you say amen, you're saying, I recognize that to be true, and I want to see it happen to myself and to this congregation. So that's the whole point of saying amen, is when something is spoken that's true, and you would like to see it happen in your life or in the life of a church, you say, yes, let it be. Make it so, God. Make it so. So here we are. Our power is enhanced because we are together. We are to get together so that power is enhanced. And as we pray and somebody says, God bless this church, you say, amen. You don't have to say it out loud, but say, amen. God bless this church. Amen. God help us to grow in grace. Amen. So we're saying this kind of stuff because as a group together, there is more power in our prayers. And you don't have to pray out loud. You throw your prayer in there with what's being prayed at the time. The thing saying, God, and not only what they're saying, but here are things that are important to me that need to be said. If you have a fire and you throw wood on it, the fire gets bigger. So if somebody's praying, you can listen to what they're saying and say, and add this, God, and add that, God. You're throwing more wood on the fire so that the blaze will be bigger, brighter, and more things will happen. And that's why when we get together, and that's why we need to get together, is we should expect more things, more experiencing of the grace of God in our lives and as a church, because we do meet together. If your life is kind of Start going to a church where the Spirit of God is and expect Him to start anointing you. Now, if we get down to verse 7, we've talked about the unity and how we are to strive to keep this unity going. And sometimes if we have to take a back seat to keep the unity going, that's more important. The only time we should disrupt a church is if somebody, someone, is saying something that is anti-God, anti-Christ, that it is a heresy that's being said, and we go, no, that's not right. I went to a church one time, and they had actual elders. I think there was 5 elders in the church. They sat up front. Anyone that got up to speak, they would blah, 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 speak, speak, speak. And then when it was over with, you'd see those elders all lean together and they would say, well, what do you think? It's like an Olympic thing. Yeah, I think he was right. The Bible says this. No, I think he was wrong. And I have seen them, after it was over with, come back the next week and say, what so-and-so said is heresy. Do not listen. And if you do not know what he said last week, forget it. If you remember, forget it. And if you don't know, don't ask, because it is heresy. It was wrong. I was like, wow. And that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. If somebody is actually saying something that's contrary to the revealed Word of God, then that's when we need to step up and say, whoa, wait a minute, we need to stop this. But anything else, like what color are you going to paint the walls? What kind of a carpet are you going to have on the, that is not worth splitting a church over. I didn't get my way, therefore I'm mad, I'm going to stomp out. The color of the hymnals is wrong, I don't like that, I'm mad, I'm going to stomp out. Strive to keep that unity, because as we are united, we go grow in the power, in the presence of God, and He hears our prayers and strengthens us so we can overcome this world. Verse 7 says, but to each one of us. He goes from this unity idea back to the individuals. But to each one of us, it's important. Every individual in this church is important. You are coming here because God wanted you here. That's why you're here. You're here so you can join together and your life can grow in grace. You can experience the grace. You can have knowledge of the Bible, but also a personal relationship, knowledge with God, because you are in this place and you are worshiping together. We are working together and the church is growing and growing and growing. To each one, there is not a person left out. Do not think, I am not worthy. God never gave me any kind of a special gift or calling. Every person is what it says. Each one of us is given a favor, is given a grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Christ gives every person a gift. Something that you can do, something that you can contribute, no matter how small it is. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know what it is. Give it time. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. And you will fall into a natural rhythm and you'll say, I can do that. And when you think you can do it, step up and say to the elders, I would like to try that. I would like to contribute in this way. Sometimes the elders will say yes. Sometimes we'll say, yeah, think about that and get back within a year because, you know, whatever reason. But don't get discouraged. Just keep seeking the Lord and asking Him to bring you to the point where you can contribute what you're supposed to be doing in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because as Glenwood Church grows in the knowledge and in that grace and that favor, and we experience it, all the churches of this area and all across the world are actually lifted up because we are part of a greater body, a universal body called the church. And all of us are connected together because we belong to the body of Christ, the universal. Every Christian, past, present, and future, are going to be a part of that body. So as we are lifted up and we grow, other people will grow because, one, we do it every week. God bless our missionaries, wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, use them to expand your kingdom. We pray that in some way. The Church of Jesus Christ is lifted up. God, it says we are to pray for the leaders of our country so we can live in peace and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time we pray for the leaders, He's going, okay. As He brings peace through the leadership of the country, the gospel will go out. So you have a gift. It just might take you some time to get there. And the reason for this gift is in verse 8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. To get that, understanding what's going on there, for one thing it says, Jesus Christ descended from heaven. He came here when he passed away. He went to the lower parts of the earth. When he came back up, he led captives. We are now prisoners. We've talked about this before. We are prisoners of hope. We know something sure, and we are locked into that because we are Christians. We know we're saved because we've trusted in Him. And He said, I will get you there. So we are prisoners of hope. And He says, He has taken this host captive, and then He gives gifts to men. And then He goes on to another subject, but He's actually quoting out of Psalm 68, which I read this morning, verse 18 and 19. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. That's that phrase. Thou hast received gifts for men. That's the phrase in Hebrew. For the rebellious also. That's us Gentiles, because we were in rebellion against God. So He received gifts, and He takes us captive also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. That's us. Blessed be the Lord. And this is the part that's added on that Paul skips over because he's going on with the unity. But because of this unity, listen to what it says in 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Because we are a unit, because we meet as the church of Glenwood, because we are gathered that way, He loads us with benefits. He loads us with blessings. You're out on your own, you're out there, you can say, well, I can be a Christian and out on my own. Yes, you can, and you can survive, and you can make it through, and when the rapture comes, you will be caught away just like everything else. But if you want a load of blessings, brothers and sisters, I like doing that, then you come to the church where Jesus Christ is uplifted and the presence of God is there. Because when the unity is there and we're working together as a unit, as we are working together, He loads us down with blessing. He loads us down with favors. Now, one thing I will point out, because this was preached, we'll probably all have real problems now, because the devil does not want us to be united. So whenever things start coming and you start getting miffed at other people in the church, remember this: I am to endure, I am to be gentle, I am to be meek, I am to be diligent. To keep this going is what going on that just is aggravating me so much. Is it a heresy, or is it just something that honks me off? And if it's just something personal, you need to say, I let this go, God, because it's more important that we maintain the unity than that we paint the inside of this church pink, you know, or whatever, lime, or whatever happens to be the color of the day. It's more important that we stay together, and as we do that, God will start causing more and more blessings. As we function, we will experience the blessings of God. Now, today is also Communion Sunday for us. It's an open communion, which means any person who is trusted in the Lord is more than welcome to partake of this. When Christ instituted this, He was looking forward just a matter of hours to what's going to happen. And remember this, when He said, it is finished, three words, it is finished, in the Greek it was actually one word, T-E-L-E-O, I won't try to say it because I'll not get it right. T-E-L-E-O, one Greek word, and it meant it is finished, it is accomplished, and it will never be repeated. That is the meaning of that word. Something is completed, the assignment is done, and that will never have to be repeated ever, ever again. When Jesus Christ instituted this, He was looking forward to, it is finished on the cross, my sacrifice is over with, and because my sacrifice is over with and it will never be repeated, every person that trusts in me will go to heaven, and every person that trusts in me will have the presence of the Holy Spirit within their life. And the church of Jesus Christ, when it assembles and understands this, my spirit will be there in a special way. I will be there in a special way. And the church will be more powerful because of the sacrifice. When He said, it is finished, the assignment's done, the doors are kicked open, the blessing of the Holy Spirit comes to us as individual, and then the blessing of the Holy Spirit comes to us as a church. And he says, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is among them. He also made the statement, where two or more agree on anything in earth, he hears and he will answer their prayers, give them an answer to their prayer. We are fortified because of this. And so when you take this Lord's Supper today, give it the recognition that it's due and say, this is important because it is finished, it's accomplished, and the things that were talked about this morning in the servants are a fact. As I assemble and I will grow in grace, and as I assemble and we pray together, God will hear and answer my prayers in a special and unique way because I have chosen to be part of this unit. Would the elders please come forward?